Well, for me, one of the best things about Cwm Park was the community, and I was born and bred in number 6 Park Road. And the little things I remember, like people left their keys in the door. We didn't have to take the keys out. There was no fear of burglars or anyone abusing your place. And there was a good camaraderie up there. You knew everyone. But that was the top of Cwm Park. And funnily enough, I as a child then only knew the children in my class were from Lower Cwm Park. I didn't know many people down there at all. So it was like as if there were two different areas then. But yes, up in Cwm Park, at the top end, we used to play out in the streets. We'd play out until it was dark. There was funny little games like Dau Drws y Nocia, those kind of things. It was safe. We used to walk up then. The colliery was in full working order. We used to go up to the Fishing River, and they'd block the and dam the river then, and you could we get in there then in the summer, and they'd have picnics and things up there. And we'd walk along a path, and one side of the path would be all logs that were all prepared. And in fact, I think about this often. We used to sort of make a den in there sometimes. You'd see a little bit and go in there, and I think now, oh my goodness, if one of those logs had even started to move, we'd have been crushed there. But we didn't see the danger. There was a small area then on the mountain where there were a few trees. We called that the woods. There must have been only about six or eight trees there, but we did have ropes hanging from there, and we had a lot of fun. But it was a safe place. It was a nice place. There was always someone there to help. Yes, you knew the people, but you knew the grandparents. You knew all about them. Pen y Lan, the big houses at the end now. There would be a path then, just quite near the colliery. It's unbelievable how near the colliery was actually to the houses. And come down there, and then the path would be there. It was already there, and you were walking up alongside the logs and things related to the colliery really, until you came to a clearing, and that's where the water was running down. It's very different there now. It's very beautiful there now. But it was very rugged, and there were a couple of trees there. I mean, we didn't know how safe or how clean it was, but it didn't matter. That was where we went, and it was a nice place.
I came from Cwm Twrch, and that was a close community similar to Cwm Park. So I had no problem at all fitting in with the people in Cwm Park. No problem whatsoever. But I used to go up to the Tremaine's pub and have a couple of pints, and I made lots and lots of friends. And I knew everybody. And people didn't know that I wasn't from there.
One other thing, it was David Edwards, who was a reporter for the Rhondda Leader, and he did an article. I wish we could have found it for today, but he did an article which was in the Rhondda Leader, and what it was saying, it was somebody had said that it was, I can't remember exactly, but it was about someone asking for directions in Cwm Park, and then saying, "Well, do you know Gwyn the Farm?" One thing I remember, the bus was important in Cwm Park. It still is very important for people travelling, and we used to pay threepence return, and that stopped quite near my house. So you could go down to the pictures in Park and Air, and also the pavilion, which isn't there any longer. And Saturday mornings there used to be shows on there for the children.
The penny rushes, is there?
Yes. But that the bus service was very, and of course you knew the conductor, and he knew everybody. Well, there were one or two conductors that that was on working on the buses, but yes, and it was Although we had shops, we had the cooperative, we had Jimmy Middleton's, what do you call it? Everything was sold.
Ironmongers,
the post office and everything like that. Mm. But, you know, then to be able to get on the bus, because we didn't have a car, to go on the bus and down to Treorchy. And then, of course, oh yes, it was, it was very nice to go down there with all the shops, all the, you know, variety of shops. Mm. Yeah.
I felt that when I lived there, and we lived there for 30 years altogether.
20 odd years, I think. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it was different from Treorchy then. Mm. Let's put it like that. Mm.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Far more of a close knit community.
Very close.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, and you, especially at top end of Cumpark, mm. everybody knew each mm. other and. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and the chapel was important, you know.
Mm.
I found a photograph the other day, and it was of the Sunday school in Bethel, which is the one I went to. Mm. Well, it was packed with children and mm. and older people as well, you know. I mean, Bethel's gone now.
And it's sad, really, although I'm not a religious guy at all, but it's sad to see that there are no chapels now in Cumpark. And there were five, and it's sad that they've gone.
Mm. Mm. Well, when my when our children come home, and they bring their children, they've gone up there and had a photograph outside at the top of the farm there, and of course they've been telling their own stories. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've said then, well, there we are. That's where it all started. Yes. Well, it's very different. It's very lovely now, with the you know, the greenery and everything else, because we can remember coal tips,
mm-hmm.
and the noise, always the noise of the pit. Mm-hmm. Two doors away from me, the nurse who was on top pit, that was her main job, she worked there as well. So yeah, there was, you know, a big connection with the mine and the pit there.
Mm,
yeah.
Mm, mm,
yeah.
Mm.
And then round about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it all became silent. Mm. It stopped.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
I think that the story of the Park Colliery and then the Dare Colliery and how they came to being, I think that should be passed on,
mm.
without a shadow of doubt. Mm. Because there were thousands of men working
mm.
in those two pits, and they were the lifeblood of mm. the community, mm. those pits were.
Mm.
And I don't think we should ever forget that.
Mm.
And we've heard stories of Railway Terrace, commonly called Tub Row,
mm.
because people used to hang the zinc tubs
mm.
where they used to wash after
mm.
being in the colliery. They used to hang them outside on the house,
mm.
and it was called Tub Row.
Yeah, my mother used to work in the canteen. There was a pit canteen, you
mm.
see, and
mm.
she used to work there, and she often used to say about how many boxes they prepared. I mean, I'm not saying that they did for everybody, because no doubt they would have their own boxes from their home, but she said that they used to prepare the boxes in the morning, hundreds of boxes ready for the men to come in to take them down, you know, with them.
Mm.
Well,
yeah.
Park Hall wouldn't have been built if
no.
it weren't for the miners.
No.
No.
Mm.
And then they've got what is the youth centre now down below,
mm-hmm.
on the
yeah,
old
the hub.
Park
yeah.
The park holiday
yeah,
site.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think we should ever forget the contribution there,
mm-hmm.
even though there were sad times as well with
mm-hmm.
colliery accidents and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were the lifeblood of the
yeah,
community,
yeah.
the collieries. Yeah.
And what was important in Park Hall was the library.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
my father was from Llansanfraid, in, well, mid Wales, And he used to go down, they used to have all the newspapers there. And he would go down to read the paper from Lansdowne Pride about he still had family there. So he used to get all his news down there. He used to play snooker then, you know, well, young boys and older men. And of course you could, you know, there was all those books that you could just borrow. And it was very popular for not only the older men, but the youngsters as well, you know, young boys.
In Park Hall then, they had two snooker tables. Now, full size snooker tables. And when it closed, I was then warden of Treherbert Youth Centre. So we bought one of the tables. And one of those tables is still up there now in the old secondary boys' secondary school.
It was a slate bed, you know, which was
proper.
Heavy and really
proper snooker table, you know.
It was important. First of all, it was a place where they communicated, you know, congregated then in the day, in the mornings usually for my father, and he'd walk down there and walk back. So he enjoyed going down there. So and I guess lots of other men, you know, did as well, and they met up and chatted and, you know, had all the news then, whatever.
I think it's wonderful now that it's being used as it is.
And the theatre, oh my goodness. You know,
the
theatre. Well, I remember going with my Auntie Doris, and there was a drama festival, I would call it, but I don't know the exact name, that was held there, and they had a different drama from, all over the South Wales, I would think, performing there. And I learned so much, really, you know, seeing all these dramas. And at the end of the week, there was an adjudication. And then, you know, there was an award for the best drama of the week then. So I'll never forget that. That was really good. Every night I was there with her. So, you know, and that was, it was full every night, you know, well attended. And then, of course, I think I've shown you the programmes that I had and the photographs of Bethel. They had quite a lot of dramas and going on and, you know, different things for the youngsters, for older people, for the teenagers then. And that was all performed in Park Hall. Oh yes, the Park Hall was very important, that theatre. You know, not to today's standard maybe, but, you know, the acoustics were good there, and I've heard that, and, you know, it's so nice to see it being used now.
It's still being used, isn't it? That's important.
Yes, it is, it is.
For the community.
It is, it's very important. I suppose that was the start of my interest, because, you know, it wasn't reading the book, it was seeing the book on stage, you know. So it was very good. They'd make costumes, and I think my mother was involved in making some of the costumes. And I can remember I had a free seat in the front, sitting there on my own, because she was in the back, you know, helping to dress them and everything. It was very much a community affair.
The other thing that they had then that they don't have anymore is the jazz groups.
Yes, the jazz bands.
Yeah, and it was a big thing in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. There'd be a group of youngsters. They'd be dressed maybe, but they were all dressed the same. I can't remember exactly what the theme used to be, but they used to have these bazookas that they'd be, you know, playing, so that, and it was
drums.
it was a unique noise, really, and the drums and everything, and so they would very, very colourful, and they would walk through the main street, you know. But I think they used to have competitions, and you know, people being involved in that as well.
The other thing we used to have, when I was involved with Park Hall, we used to have a fete every year. Down on the old airfield, you know, we used to have a big tent and stalls and things like that. I've lived in Cwm Park, that I should speak a lot of Welsh in Cwm Park. I think that's important. And because a lot of the people spoke Welsh.
Older people, isn't it?
Mm. And I used to speak Welsh nearly every day to somebody when we lived there. The colliers who came from all parts of, different parts of Wales, they brought the Welsh with them. They came from North Wales, West Wales, and I remember most of the older people spoke Welsh when I lived in Cwm Park.
And I
spoke Welsh to them, and they, and it was great, you know.
Yeah, one thing I just thought of then, how if people came from away or whatever, we used to know people by, I can remember, Mr. Williams Fistiniog. There was a name sometimes attached to the surname.
Yeah.
And that was quite common up in Cwm Park.
And he built on a ferm in Park Isaf in Cwm Park, o Tir Gyrefi, hefyd oedd mwy o tir gyda fi tiwl pen y lan ar top o Gwm Park. Oedd cyffile gyda fi a ffowls a geifr. A oedd y gafr wedi cael ei bach a ar ôl chwech mis oedd oedd symud nhw off y gafr. So ni wedi mynd yn y lan i'r tir tu ôl pen y lan. A ges i galwad ar y ffôn un diwrnod a gweud, Gwyn, if you've got goats. A yes, fe ddys i, well, they're on my roof. menyw o Greenfield Terrace, Gaffers Row o'n i ar o'r galwa. Oedd e wedi ffôn a gweud bod y gaifr ar y to. Oedd yn hawl i'r gaifr yn ar y to, achos oedd tu cefn y tu yn slwp o lawr i mwyn y lai i'r ewl. So wes i lan, a o'n i wedi dala'r gaifr, a mynd yn ôl lan i'r cae. Ond ar ôl i fi cloi nhw'n ôl mewn yn y cae, o'n i wedi cyrdded lawr yn byth nesaf, oedd y gyfer yn dilyn fi, ond nhw wedi'n neidio mas eto. So, es i lan nawr yn neud y ffens yn well, a es i gadre. O'n i ddim bod adre 5 munud, a es i galwad arall, Gwyn, the goats are on the roof again. So, es i nôl lan wedyn, a gweld nhw, a ni wedi gofyn i'r fenyw oedd yn byw yna, a gwyn, os oes rhywbeth tu ôl y tŷ, os bydd y gyfr yn mynd mas, mynd lawr fel yna, o blaen y tŷ, oedd rhywbeth i distriwio mewn yna. A wedi dweud, no, there's nothing there. Wedi dweud, why? Oh, I'm going to shoot them now. I'm going to shoot them now. Oh, no, I'm not going to shoot them. And, yeah. Oedd yna'n ddoniol. Oedd wedi cael ei gyfer nhw, a wedi mynd yn ôl and y cae wedyn, a neud y ffens yn well.
So mae gyfer yn diflannu,
mae'n ddrwg. Mae'n ddrwg, gori, ac yn doi bili gwrt yn nhw.
Oh, right,
okay. Yn wedyn, chi ddim gallu cadw bili gwrt ar ôl mynd nhw'n chwe mis oed, ac os mynd nhw'n mynd yn wyllt. So ni wedi mynd yn lawr i'r slot ar aws wedyn. O'n i wedi cael ei wneud yn iawn, oedd torri nhw lan yn iawn a dod yn y freezer. O'n i'n cael cynio un di syl, oedd mam fal a Aunty Doris yn cael wastad yn cael cynio di syl gyda ni. Wel, y di syl hyn, o'n i wedi gynio'r gafr. A o'n i'n eistedd lawr i gael bwyd a wedodd Aunty Doris, Gwyn, oh, it's the nicest bit of lamb I've seen for a long time.
Tasted.
I've tasted for a long time. And if you didn't have any chwerthin, I would have said, that isn't a lamb. That isn't a lamb, and you know, that's Billy the goat. Oh! And chwerthin lot yma ddiw hwnna, yeah. Val and I, our first little house was up in Dreidol Close in Ynysafoyo, by the Baglan. So I used to go out, call in the Baglan for a pint. And when we moved then up to the farm, on International Day, I used to take my horse, Brown Lad, and ride him up to the Baglan, because I had a field and a stable behind the Baglan. And I used to leave him there where I'd watch the game and then go home after the game. Well, this day, I went to fetch him now after the game, and he wasn't there. And I thought, now the boys were playing a trick on me now. And I went back down to the pub and said, come on now, tell me where he is, and what have you done with him and all that. They were always pulling pranks, you know. And they convinced me in the end that they hadn't done anything. Anyway, he had gone from the field. So I started walking home then with a saddle on my arm and a saddle and bridle on my arm. And the car stopped. And the fella in the car said, are you looking for a horse? I said, yes, I am, actually. Oh, he just turned right by the stag, he said. So I thought, my God, he's gone home. And that's what happened. He had gone down the main road, all the way down the main road, turned right by the stag. And when I got home, he was in the stable. Val had seen him outside and put him back in the stable. So I didn't turn up for another half hour. Yeah. But there was another occasion then with Brown Lad. I must have had a few too many to drink, and I fell off on the way home by the park pit, just down here. And I tried to get back on, I couldn't get back on. So I tapped him on the backside and said, go home, boy, and off he went. And again, Val had seen him, put him in the stable. So that's Brown Lad. Yeah.